Hi, I'm Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, and you're listening to The X-Cast.
Welcome back, everybody, to The X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and joining me for day three of our season 10 coverage, devoted right now to the premiere episode, My Struggle, of the brand new miniseries, is Tanya Hernandez once again.
Hello again, Tony.
Hello, Tanya. It's been so long since we spoke last.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Ages.
Okay, so in this episode, we are covering two guest characters, two of the new characters created by Chris Carter for this opening episode, and two characters who play quite pivotal roles. We're going to be discussing the characters of Tad O'Malley and Sveta. So first, let's talk about Tad O'Malley, played by Joel McHale, who is known primarily for Community, I believe, although it's a show I haven't seen.
Community, and he did back in the day on E! Entertainment. He was one of the hosts of Talk Soup.
Okay.
Which is like basically like a clip show where they go over like all the talk shows and like show highlights. I mean, it's standard now, but back then, like, they were the first to really do a show like that.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And he was one of the earlier hosts. Originally, it was actually, I believe, I don't know if he was the original host or he was one of the first hosts of the show. But yeah, that's where he first started. And then, of course, he'd done a couple of things. And then Community is the big one that recently got him back in people's scopes.
Right, yeah. So he's kind of, the actor has already done kind of like a talk showy kind of thing before.
Yeah, but it was like all, you know, with jokes and stuff. So he's definitely more known for his comedic abilities, you know, with Talk Soup and with Community. So this is kind of like the first time you kind of see him in a more, I wouldn't say serious role, but a non, you know, slapsticky comedic type of role.
Well, I was about to say, it is more of a serious role in some respects, isn't it? In that he plays what he's kind of described in the episode, really, as a cross between Alex Jones and Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, which is really, really interesting. Because again, if you know from what he normally does, like, it's a complete opposite of what he normally does. And you wonder, what the heck was Chris doing when he casted him? But apparently, he saw him at a White House press correspondents dinner.
Okay.
He was hosting it. And I guess some of the jokes, because, you know, obviously it's going to be more political jokes and stuff like that. And, he was so impressed with his, you know, performance and hosting abilities. He thought, hey, let me make him a right-wing conservative conspiracy nut. He'll be great.
But he was right. I mean, that's the thing.
It works.
Tad really, you know, conveys that sense of drive and almost statesmanship, even though he is a talk show host. But he's a guy with an element of power, or as you can tell, or an element of influence anyway, even if perhaps that's overextended by the end. He's somebody who can reach out to a lot of people with his, it's very much a one of those, like you say, right-wing conspiracy talk shows on the web, which is something like Talk Truth, I think it's called, or something like that. And it's basically a mouthpiece for Tad to sort of describe the conspiracy that Mulder ends up getting sucked into. And this is what I thought was really interesting. We'll get onto the politics of him in a minute, but I thought what was really interesting was that Chris Carter has tapped into the idea that these people in this day and age, like the Bill O'Reillys, like the Alex Joneses, they have a voice that is very powerful and can reach quite a lot of people and have an element of influence. And so to actually get someone like that to actually bring Mulder into that world, I think he's fascinating and very clever, actually.
Well, I mean, it's funny when Scully, you know, tells him, have you seen this guy? And he pulls up the video and he's like, why would I listen to this idiot? You know, but then when he mentions Roswell, he's like, wait a minute, he's saying my trigger word, you know?
Mm.
And then it's like, okay, well, maybe he's being a little extreme with some of it, but he kind of knows something, you know, and that's kind of what pulls Mulder in and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was a pretty interesting way to create the character.
Well, yeah. And he has, he obviously has some influence in the government or something, because he, and then the question of whether or not he is who he says he is the big right. thing. But obviously, you know, if he can take Mulder to a warehouse where, who seem to be rogue scientists, have visible alien technology, and you know, it's the same technology we saw, what we thought was aliens flying throughout the show. It's the triangular ship, which then right. turns invisible.
Right.
And like, you know, we saw alien ships doing that in the original series. So it's not new technology in the sense right. for the show, but for O'Malley to actually have that at his disposal mm-hmm. proves that he's not just necessarily a talk show host, is he?
Right.
So the question is, the big question I wonder is, who is he and what exactly is he trying to do?
That is a good question. I mean, you assume at the end that of the episode that, you know, his beliefs caught up to him and, you know, they shut him down or he's gone underground. But then you got to wonder, you know, again, it's like, you know, all this happens and then all of a sudden it disappears. So maybe it was done on purpose. Like, I'm still not convinced about what his intentions are.
Mm.
I'm sure he certainly opened Mulder's eyes or brought Mulder back into the race. But, you know, I don't know if it's either he is a conspiracy theorist, but doesn't know the real truth the yeah. way Mulder is figuring it out now, because you have that scene where he tells Sveta, oh, you know, tell me what you really wanted to tell me. And that she says that, you know, there weren't really aliens. It was really humans.
Yeah.
You know, men that were actually there. But, you know, I just said that because that's what he wanted me to say. Or, you know, is he really on it, like, secretly subverting that and trying to, you know, like, you know, not that he really believes that they're aliens, but he really does know about this conspiracy of man, but he's still trying to push the alien thing for whoever it is that is trying to hide it.
Well, I mean, your instinct, I don't know about you, but the instinctual thing I have is he's either, well, I'll tell you what, the name that kept coming up in my head whenever I thought of this was Krycek.
Okay.
In the sense of he feels like a potential Krycek in the making, in the sense yeah. of somebody who is working for the Smoking Man mm-hmm. and he's leading Mulder down a certain path that he needs to go down. But I don't know. But it could be. It could be, but I don't know. And the uncertainty of that is quite what his intentions are and whether or not he's a good guy or a bad guy. And he goes underground at the end of this episode, but quite why is debatable, and quite whether or not, like you said, it's caught up to him or he's gone underground because he did what he needed to do and then the evidence was cleaned up.
Yeah.
He got exactly. Mulder back into the FBI. You know, he got Mulder back on the case. He got him believing something. That may have well been the point of all of this, to actually get Mulder on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. What about his politics, though? Because he's very right-wing, ultra-conservative, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's weird because, you know, he's this ultra-conservative, you know, person where he's like, oh, the government's going to take your guns and da-da-da-da. And most of the time you're like, oh, whatever, you know, like, come on, calm down. But then, you know, he's like, but because they have this power, this is how they're going to take over.
Yeah.
Using, you know, like some of it, you know, I think nowadays, like a lot of people do have a certain level of distrust where you hear some of the things where he's like, oh, you know, it's going to happen on a Friday and the banks are going to close and stuff like that. Like, that's something like, honestly, I couldn't imagine something like that happening.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, then you start getting into that murkiness of, you know, well, now we have to like start separating certain people and stuff like that. So I think he's a very interesting like conglomeration of all of those things.
Yeah.
Especially going on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here in the States for sure. Like, it's, to be honest, like, from my perspective, in terms of like what's going on in our politics here in the States, it is so insane. Yeah. I don't even know what the world thinks of us right now. I can imagine what you guys, you know, I know in England, they just had a debate about Donald Trump and, you know, whether they should ban him or whatever. And it's like, he's like the Tad come to life almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is it. Chris Carter is very clearly a left-wing guy. He very clearly doesn't the whole, you know, he would, I imagine, be very anti-Trump and all of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is why he characterizes Tad so well, because he is a representation of all that. I have to say, just going off what you said, what I desperately want to believe, Tanya, is that the majority of the American public think that Donald Trump is a complete fucking moron. Pardon my French.
Yeah, and I would hope so too, but yes. To be honest, I don't know. It's a little scary. In that sense, I feel like Mulder a little bit, because I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but if that guy gets up, I'm going to have to go underground myself.
Yeah,
It's a little scary, but I think, you know, that Tad's character, just, again, credit to Chris Carter. Because he is right on the pulse of, like, what's going on. And Tad is just a great example of what's going on right now to kind of, you know, create that, that feeds into this whole conspiracy theory and stuff like that. Because those are the things that these guys, not just Trump, like a lot of those, the Republican side candidates, they're all saying that kind of stuff that, you know, Tad was saying in his show. Like, these are the things they're saying every single day. So, you know, it's a really good characterization of that paranoia and that different type of paranoia, not just alien paranoia, but just Big Brother paranoia type of thing.
I said, you're absolutely right. I said in my written review of My Struggle, which incidentally you can find on a site called The Bottle Episode, everybody, which is run by my friend Matt Latham, a very good site for American and British television. But I put there that one of the things that I think My Struggle does really well is that it makes the show relevant again. It makes the X-Files have something to say, and I think it does that more than ever, more than anything, through Tad and through what he's talking about and through the kind of conspiracy and paranoia this... You know, as Mulder, I think, says in the second episode, or it might be the first, where he says, I know who Edward Snowden is. You know, we're in this...
Yeah, in the second one, yeah.
Yeah, we're in this post-Edward Snowden WikiLeaks world where the government has never been... It's been a long time since the government, and not just the American government, but, you know, it's the same in England. You know, there's a real far right, there's a real right-wing sentiment creeping into politics across the globe now. That means that people are not trusting their governments more and more. And there is this general feeling that there are people actively working against your best interests. And the fact that what Tad is talking about, when he says, you know, it'll happen on a Friday, which, incidentally, I don't know what about you, but I immediately flashed back to Martin Landau in the X-Files movie. Where he's talking
about... Yeah, where he said the same thing.
He says almost exactly the same dialogue.
Yeah, it's going to happen on a holiday, on a weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Federal Emergency Management is going to take over. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I thought exactly that.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. And in that instance, obviously, it was the alien virus. But, you know, if that's not the truth, and that was the lie, and what Tad is saying is the truth, then it's the same truth. It just is dressed up.
It's just different. Yeah.
Yeah.
How it's being executed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what Chris Carter's trying to do is make the show relevant again, because we are far more afraid of a conglomerate, you know, secret order taking control of our every move and watching our every move than aliens falling from the sky nowadays.
Right.
And I think that's what Chris Carter's injecting the fear back in. And I think he does that brilliantly through Tad.
Absolutely. I think, the character just fits better in it. It's just fantastic that it's just now, because it just definitely fits with that distrust, you know, back... I guess, you know, Chris created the X-Files based off the fears of, or the distrust of, the government after Vietnam.
Yes.
Taking influence from that.
Watergate as well.
Yeah, and Watergate. So now he's redone it. It's the same X-Files, but now that he's working off of the fear and distrust that we have now of the government and, you know, of corporations. And stuff like that. So I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty slick.
Very cleverly done. So what do we make of Sveta then? If you know, we've talked about Tad, but these two are connected together, because Sveta is the woman who Tad brings Mulder and Scully to in order to effectively provide part of the proof in order to hook them into the new conspiracy.
Right.
And she's just living in a house played by an actress called Annette Mahendru, who I think is a newcomer. I've not seen her in anything before. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I read she's been in a couple of little things here and there, but I feel like I've seen her face before, but I can't place it. Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, she's pretty much a newcomer.
Yeah. It's a smallish role, but it's quite an important role to the episode, really, because it, you know, it actually helps sell this conspiracy. But she seemed an interesting character because, you know, obviously we talked in the last episode about her conversation with Scully, in which it appears she can read minds. She's obviously been abducted apparently many times. She's had babies taken from her.
Right.
Is she for real? You know, or is she a set-up plant in order to sell this truth or this lie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they definitely kept you going one way or the other throughout the whole episode until the very end, because, like, you know, to come in and she's like, oh yeah, you know, I've been abducted and I got these things, and then a little bit later she's like, well, I didn't really see aliens, it was humans that I saw. And then later it's like, well, you know, I could read minds, but you don't know anything, Scully. And then, you know, eventually she's like, oh well, maybe you are. So you're wondering whether she's just really perceptive of things, and not that she's, you know, actually reading minds. And you kind of don't know. And then, you know, she's like, okay, we're gonna tell the truth. And then the next thing you know, she's on the TV. Oh, Tad told me to say all these things, and it was all lies. So, like, she's going back and forth, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you know, until the end where you see what happens to her, you know.
Yeah.
And then Scully has the DNA to say, no, she is legit. Like, she was telling the truth. She's not the only one that has this. So, you know, but she was kind of an interesting character because she just kept going back and forth the entire episode. Like, you couldn't really believe what she was saying. And I don't think she even believed herself at some point what she was saying. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, maybe this chick is just crazy. You know?
Yeah. But obviously, though, by the very end,
then you're like, oh wow,
yeah,
she really is legit. But too bad, because now she's dead.
It does allow for the incredibly awesome, like, laser beam car explosion thing, which is just like, oh,
yeah, and like, oh man,
why have they never done this before?
Exactly. Like, they have the technology, they could have just been zapping people all over the place.
Exactly. It proves that the crafts have that element also of like destructive capability, which we'd never seen before, which is you know, an Eddie Dextra thing. But yeah, he does sell this idea that Sveta was, I think, the way I read it was, she is some element of a plant, and she's been, you know, crafted by Tad. But I think that ultimately, when she spoke out, that was when she signed a death warrant.
Right.
And that, you know, when she spoke to the press, that was it. Then she had to die because, and as it turns out, you know, she did have alien DNA, even though there was the uncertainty if she was true or not. So obviously.
Well, I think it's interesting that after Scully tells them her test came back negative, that Tad still went with it and was like, okay, well, you know what? Forget what she said. We're still gonna expose them. Don't worry about what she said. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just find that interesting. Like, why didn't he say, okay, well, maybe we should hold off?
Yeah.
Then again, it goes into, well, what was his real intention, right?
Exactly.
At that point, you have to say, well, if she's saying that she didn't have any DNA, why are we still doing this? After she just explained, like, this is treason. Like, this could get us into really big trouble. But screw her. We're gonna go on my show. We're gonna tell the truth.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So now it makes me wonder, like, maybe he is becoming like a Krycek. I don't know.
This is it. It leaves it very, very. It could go either way. And, you know, I'm even though it looks like Sveta's very much dead, I imagine we will see Tad again later on in the season. I imagine we will. I don't know for certain. And, you know, quite where he sits on the
right. The are we going to see him, like, scared and running? Yeah. Or we see him coming out of, like, a random limousine, all nice and comfortable, like, well, come with me, you know, type of thing?
Is he the smoking man's boy? Because, you know, we'll get into the smoking man soon.
Right.
But, you know, is he working for him? This is what, or is he working for something else? Is he, who knows? I don't know.
I know.
It's exciting.
Now that we're thinking about it, like, I'm thinking about it out loud, it's like, you think, oh, well, you know, now he's gone, but yeah. he might actually be like a dun dun dun, you yeah, know.
He could be.
Coming up.
But crucially, what it do when we when I'm sitting here going, I don't know either way. This isn't to the detriment of the episode, you know. It's written well. It's just Chris Carter leaves enough uncertainty that by the time we see him again, if we see him again,
yeah,
it could go either way. So it's exciting, really.
Because I mean, you think about it. They had, you know, Scully says we have to save Sveta, we have to protect her, and now she's freaking dead.
Well, yeah.
There goes once again. There they go. They had the evidence. It was right there.
Yeah.
Just like in the first episode, they had the evidence. And what happened? The hotel room burned down with everything in it. Yeah. You know? So it that is interesting. I wonder if he has something to do with that.
And the explosion of the craft and the death of the scientist, because obviously he's not there for that either. You know, that's team rolls in and destroys them all, you know.
And then also it makes you think, if she was going to expose with him this conspiracy, why didn't he protect her?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if he went into hiding, why did he take her with him?
Right.
You know?
Which makes me think that it was all a plan. And this is the thing. It makes me think that this whole thing was set up to get Mulder to where they would need him to be. Like quite often has happened in the show, people manipulating right. Mulder. I think that a lot of this could have well been show him enough again to get him to believe,
right,
and then take it away from him, which is what they've always done. Smoky Man has always done this. Show him enough, then snatch it back away.
But then you have to wonder, why would they even do that if he was already like kind of practically almost on the verge of killing himself, you know what I mean? Like it being a recluse. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And so like, why even bring him back? Why even... I don't know. God damn.
Well, the truth is out there, Tanya.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
It certainly is.
It's so
me a headache already. Great. I love it.
We will explore more of this as we continue on through our season 10 coverage. But that's all from us today. We're going to return tomorrow with coverage of two of our favorite characters and two epic characters from the show. We're going to be talking about Skinner and the Smoky Man. How exciting.
How exciting.
So I'll see you then, Tanya.
See you then. Thank you again, Tony.
My pleasure. And remember, everyone, trust no one.